Yeah, welcome back to our draft special Dog Pound Report. Joining us now is senior writer for the ClevelandBrowns.com, or ClevelandBrowns.com, is Andrew Gribble. Hey, this was your first shot at covering a Browns draft. You were like, how many picks are they going to have? They end up with 12.
Yeah, it kept me busy from start to finish, especially day three. It just seemed like it never ended. But the Browns got a lot better, added a lot of players to the roster, and then suddenly you look at it, This is a much more competitive team. Players are going to get better because of it.
All right, you have some great stuff on ClevelandBrowns.com right now, and you also have an exclusive interview with defensive coordinator Jim O'Neill. Here is part of that exclusive interview available only on ClevelandBrowns.com.
Drafting Danny Shelton's just a mammoth of a person inside, so anytime you add a guy that's going to force two guys to block them, it's going to free things up for other guys and keep those linebackers clean to the ball. I'm excited about Nate Orchard. As far as an edge rusher, and he also has a versatile skill set where he could potentially do some drop stuff, do some things in coverage for us. And then Xavier Cooper, the guy that we traded up to go get. He was a guy that I know we as a defensive staff thought very highly of, and we were shocked that he was there late in the third round. So it was an exciting 3 days for everybody.
It's not often you get a consensus All-American cornerback in the seventh round. Just kind of the special circumstances that got Ifo with the team.
Well, he's a guy we brought in for a visit, and just when you get around the kid, he's charismatic. He's all about football. He's one of us, and you just knew right away if there's somebody who can come back even stronger from the injury that he had during bowl practices, it's that kid. So for us to be able to get him with our last pick, and he's a guy that without the injury probably goes in the first round, was huge.
Well, I think that's been the MO of Mike Pettine and Ray Farmer since we got here. You know, they're gonna drive competition at every position group. And like I said earlier, you know, the more competition you have, the better it is for everyone.
Boy, Andrew, I got to tell you, I was just going to say, if you're the defensive coordinator and you just got seven guys, I mean, how pumped are you?
Well, yeah, and especially when you look at those first three guys, all three are going to help you get better on that run defense. You know, Danny Shelton is just a massive guy. You can plug in at nose tackle, and then you heard it in his voice. They were shocked Xavier Cooper was there in the third round. They valued him very highly throughout the entire pre-draft process. You can maybe put him at the 5 or 3 technique. Suddenly, you're getting those injured guys back as well. Competition is going to be fierce in training camp.
Browns wanted to stop the run. You get Danny Shelton to do that. They wanted to get to the quarterback more effectively. You get Nate Orchard to do that. You address your two biggest needs. My question is, how are Anthony Weaver and Tony Tuiati going to figure out who to play on this line? Because now you've got Shelton. You bring in Cooper. You already had Phil Taylor. You've got Randy Starks. You've got Dez Bryant. You've got John Hughes. You've got Billy Winn. You've got Ishmaili Kitchen. I mean, this line all of a sudden is overwrought with talent, and there's going to be a lot of competition in that room.
Yeah, and at the same time, look at what happened last year. You have to bank on injuries. I mean, this is a physical sport. One of the most physical parts of the entire football field. So that's why you add all that depth. So you don't get in a situation where it was last year, where you're maybe kind of throwing guys in that maybe aren't ready for those circumstances. So now you look at Phil Taylor, Danny Shelton, Ish Kitchen in the middle. You feel good about that. And then at the 5 and 3, you just seem pretty loaded. So and then at the pass rusher situation as well. Wasn't addressed in free agency, but now you bring in Nate Orchard, and all of a sudden, Barkevious Mingo, he's healthy. You're expecting a big jump from him in year 3. Scott Solomon finished strong. You just feel a lot better about that front seven going forward.
And these are some mature guys that they brought in as well. Nate Orchard married, and he's a guy who had 18 and a half sacks last year. What I like the most is you look at how did he do against somebody that was picked or thought highly of. Andres Pete went 13th overall to New Orleans Saints. He had 3.5 sacks against him in that game against Stanford. Ate his lunch, so I think that bodes very well for his ability to get to the quarterback.
All right, you had a chance to talk to both sides of the ball, and you obviously went in and talked to John DeFilippo too as well. So let's hear the other side of the story when it comes to the Browns.
Yeah, I tell you, when you look at the five guys we drafted, the versatility of that group really shows. I mean, they played a lot of different spots in the positions they were at in terms of the guys playing on the ball tight end, off the ball tight end, you know, playing different spots on the offensive line in terms of Cam Irving, center, guard, tackle. I mean, you don't have to project with those guys because you saw them do it on tape. So it's a really good group. Well, the thing about Duke is that, you know, the thing you notice first on tape is obviously his explosiveness and how he can run the football. But what's really undervalued with Duke, I think, are his hands. I tell you, he's great out of the backfield. He can, you know, run a choice route for you, and he can beat a linebacker or a DB one-on-one in a pass route. So I think, again, the versatility of our players that we drafted, I think, is going to show on the field. First, he's 6'2", okay, and he's a big-bodied guy. So that's what we're really looking forward to, a guy that can play on the outside, win one-on-ones with smaller corners. And, you know, he was very, very productive at Washington State in a throwing offense, so he's been used to having a lot of balls come his way.
Andrew, versatility, that's what Flip said there. A lot of these guys can do a lot of things to help the Browns that they drafted on offense.
Well, it starts with Cam Irving, because you don't just see many guys in the draft who can play multiple positions, let alone five. And Cam Irving can really, truly do it all on the offensive line. We think he's maybe going to start at that right guard, potentially right tackle. But eventually, if Alex Mack opts out, you got an option at center as well. But it goes to Duke Johnson as well. He made some special plays on special teams at the beginning of his Miami career, focused on being the bell cow at the end. And he's a guy who can come in and catch passes out of the backfield, maybe work on special teams, and also carry the ball. They expect a lot out of him, even though he's maybe a smaller guy as well. Later rounds, you get a couple tight ends, but one of them, Malcolm Johnson, he can play some fullback. So just a lot of options to work with, and I think that we're going to maybe say versatility over and over again. You're going to get sick of hearing about it, but that's the key to this draft with offense.
All right, let's talk about what the fans might be talking about. They didn't draft a quarterback, and they only got one wide receiver. Your thoughts?
Well, I think Ray Farmer said it at his press conference last night. You know, they're more content with the quarterback situation than maybe some fans are. And really, they might have thought about drafting quarterback, but it just didn't make sense where they were looking for those guys. So a lot of talk about Bryce Petty, Brett Hundley before the draft, but it just didn't make sense where the Browns were picking. Vince Maley, he's a guy that maybe compares to Dwayne Bowe in the future, but he didn't play a lot of football. He's a former basketball player, but if he can make an impact, he can come and they'll give him snaps. But I think that this team is more content with what they have at wide receiver. Brian Hartline, Dwayne Bowe, Andrew Hawkins, those are three veterans they're going to count on, and they're pretty happy with them.
The Browns are better at wide receiver than they were a year ago, and Maley's a guy who's still learning. Really only his second year playing football, 106 catches, 1,483 yards, six 100-yard games, two over 250, the only guy in college football to do that last year, and the only guy in Pac-12 history to ever do that. So he's a moldable piece of clay. I've heard him compared by a former NFL scout who works for the Pac-12 Network to Anquan Boldin. Physical, tough, again, plays like a Brown. Talked about blocking in his initial press conference. You don't hear many wide receivers do that. And I think Duke Johnson, little Gio Bernard, Brian Westbrook to his game, is going to be shifty and add something to this offense that they don't currently have with Crow and West.
All right, boys. Andrew, we'll make sure we'll read you on the mobile app as well, clevelandbrowns.com. So great stuff there. Really, it's just exclusive stuff. I could sit there for days and read everything you've had.
These guys were like the MVPs of the draft.
KJ. Go home and get some sleep.
Much needed. I'll be ready to do it.
Next year, maybe only eight picks. How's that sound for you? Seven picks. All right, and stick around. We've got more. We're going to talk a little bit more about clevelandbrowns.com. And Mary Kay Cabot's going to join us from the Plain Dealer and cleveland.com as well. So plenty more coming up on this draft edition of the Dog Pound Report.
Dog Pound Report will be right back with head coach Mike Pettine, breaking down days two and three of the draft. Coach Pett will share his thoughts on the success of the draft and look forward to the position competitions that lie ahead.